What's up, guys, and welcome to The Layup with me, Ryan Duty. So today we are going to be breaking into the biggest stories in the NBA over the past couple of weeks, or past week, and today. But the biggest one is about the trade that everyone is talking about, Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks. Me, personally, when I heard about this deal, was very excited because of Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic both being international players, and that'll be fun to be the Mavericks' 1-2 punch. But it was more than just Porzingis, because the Knicks got a young player in Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, who is a beast, Wesley Matthews, and 2 first-round picks. And then the Mavericks received Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway, and Trey Burke, and obviously Kristaps Porzingis. But let's break into this trade, the winners and the losers of this trade. I think that the Mavericks won this trade just because of how solid of a passer Luka Doncic is, and in the pick and roll, I think they will be a very good 1-2 punch and maybe the best duo in the league come a couple years, because they are both very young and they have a high ceiling. And then the Knicks, it wasn't a horrible trade for them. They got DeAndre Jordan, a player who has always shot the ball well because of most of his shots coming from inside. Dennis Smith Jr., who didn't really fit in Dallas the second year, kind of faded because of Luka Doncic kind of stealing the show, which should happen because Luka is a good, solid piece to build around for the Mavericks. But I think Dennis Smith Jr. will excel with this young team, and then David Fizdale is also a good coach, an underrated coach, and I think he'll find a way to get them to the playoffs with their young core, Alonzo Trier, Kevin Knox. I don't know what they're going to do with Cantor, but it'll be interesting. And then Wesley Matthews, a guy that he's been solid. He's a solid player, but never really was a star. And I don't know if he ever will be, but he is a solid player, and then those picks, and then the Mavericks, they got Porzingis, but then they got Hardaway, Tim Hardaway Jr., a very underrated player, and I think the Knicks made a bad decision in trading Hardaway, and that's maybe what made the Mavericks think that's why they maybe wanted to make that deal, with Porzingis and then Hardaway, so it's like a little 1-2. It's Luka probably at the 1, and then Hardaway at the 2, or maybe Trey Burke at the 1, Luka at the 3, and then Hardaway at the 2. But it'll be interesting to see how they do that. But then the Mavericks also received Courtney Lee, who's been a guy. He's a consistent player, but he's never really had that, like Wesley Matthews, never had that really good, solid year, but maybe the Mavericks will bring out the best in him. I don't know if they'll start him or if he'll be a sixth man. But, yeah, and then Trey Burke, when he gets minutes, he can really score the basketball. And I like him as a player, but I hope the Mavericks give him more minutes than he got in New York. And then I think the New York went in. They kind of steered in a different direction than we thought. They kind of had it centered around Porzingis. Now they kind of have trying to build it around Dennis Smith Jr. and Kevin Knox, and then have DeAndre Jordan crashing the boards, and maybe even along with Enes Kanter, depending on what he does. Do they trade him at the trade deadline? But you did notice in his last game he did kiss the center of the floor. So many think that may have been his last game as a Knick, but he's a very valuable player, and I think the Knicks are making a mistake in not keeping him, because they would be probably the best offensive rebounding team in the league with DeAndre Jordan and Enes Kanter crashing the boards after every miss. So yeah, the Knicks and the Mavericks made a blockbuster deal. I don't know if anyone was expecting this. The Knicks did say that they were looking for some deals for Kristaps, trying to steer in another direction, but they were maybe trying to get Anthony Davis, and I think a trade like maybe would have worked, like a Porzingis, a Hardaway, and then like a Knox maybe, or a Trier, something like that, for Davis, and then maybe another first round pick would have made sense, but you never really know, so that'll be interesting to see. And then another underrated top story was Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade. It was announced by Adam Silver today that they are going to be playing in the All-Star game. They're special editions. Adam Silver announced it today because of their extraordinary contributions to the NBA and their All-Star careers. And I don't really support this decision because there are many players in the league who deserve this, like who are being overlooked. I think Tobias Harris is having a great year. He should be an All-Star. Who else? I was happy for Vucevic that he got that All-Star. Bledsoe maybe could have deserved it. Drummond. So, I like it, but maybe they support, they show their love for him in a different way by, like, I don't know, like, shooting a half-court shot at halftime or something like that. So that was a top story. That was a story that, not many people, I think some people wanted that to happen, but they don't want sympathy votes. I think it'll be fun, but Dirk will probably, I think Wade is more fun to watch than Dirk, and I don't know, they probably won't play that much. Speaking of All-Star, since Oladipo is out for the season, he was named to the All-Star team, but D'Angelo Russell will replace him, deservingly so. The Nets were a very bad team last year, and that was with Russell. He was injured for a little bit, Dinwiddie kind of took over, had a solid year, but they are sixth in the Eastern Conference and only 5 games behind Indiana and Boston. That is with Indiana falling down, they might jump up to that 5 spot, with Boston going up to the 4 and Brooklyn going up to the 5. But the year that D'Angelo Russell is having, he's having big games almost every night. But when he doesn't have a good game, he doesn't have a good game at all. Shooting the ball, turnovers. But the Nets are doing this without Caris LeVert, and when they saw him go down, they thought their season might be over. But he's been consistent over the last couple weeks, and he deserves this All-Star. And then the Bulls, who got Carmelo Anthony in that trade from Houston, will waive Carmelo, and Carmelo will go into free agency. A little like deja vu of last year, the Hawks, and then signing with the Rockets. I don't know if there's any team that Carmelo would fit with right now. He doesn't work as a third star. He's tried it twice. Okay, he doesn't like coming off the bench. Los Angeles doesn't really make sense to me because it's LeBron and it happened with Wade and Anthony Wade and LeBron when they were buddies, and then it never worked out playing together. But I honestly don't like Carmelo. I think this is a calling sign. He's young. I mean, he's not old, but it's a calling sign. Maybe should think about hanging up the jersey. I'm not saying should, but it, not many teams. He's not as valuable as he was a year ago. I'll say that. And not many teams like him. They don't like him. LeBron came back last night, and he almost had a triple-double, and many thought that this was like LeBron coming back. He carried them to win in overtime. He had 24 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists. This is a guy coming back from a groin injury, and they won in OT, 123 to 120. to a Clippers team who is a solid team, and to get a win like that on the road, it's a very good win for them. So we'll go into how not human LeBron is, just because he came back from a groin injury. Those hurt, and for someone to come back and just have a great game, like a typical LeBron game like that, and he had a good game. So this is something to look forward for Laker, if you're a Laker fan, because with LeBron they were 20-14, and then they beat the. They managed to pull away from the Warriors on Christmas Day. That was without LeBron, like, when he got injured. So, I mean, I think the Lakers are going to be a team to beat more than people expected when LeBron signed. I mean, Kuzma's having a very good second year. Ingram is playing well. So, I think this is kind of what LeBron wanted. He's facing a little more adversity, I think, than he has in a while. I mean, last year in Cleveland, he did definitely face adversity. But this is, we'll see if LeBron is really the GOAT, if he can do what he does best, even with a weaker supporting cast. But I definitely think this Lakers supporting cast is better than the supporting cast that he had when he took them to the finals in Cleveland last year. And better when he took them to the finals in 2007. And then eventually lost to San Antonio. But it'll be a tough task. And last night's marquee, there were two marquee games on TNT. But the Bucks at the Raptors, this is against a Raptors team that was at home and plays very well at home. They play very well at home. They do a lot of things right. They're 21-5 at home against a Milwaukee team that is first place in the Eastern Conference. And this was just a complete game, and it showed the Bucks' potential, and it showed some problems for Toronto. I thought that definitely they didn't get much production from their bench. They only got 26 points out of their bench. So, and then it was just a solid game all around for Milwaukee. Middleton had 18 points. Congrats to the All-Star. Giannis, 19 points. Lopez and Brogdon, 11 each. Bledsoe, 14. And then DJ Wilson only played 22 minutes, and he had 16 points coming off the bench. And then, and George Hill, that solid pickup from Cleveland, that's going to be a good pickup come playoff time, because he has been in so many, deciding games, and he has that experience playing for Greg Popovich. But the one thing about Milwaukee, they have a very solid team, they play like a team, but the fading of Tony Snell. If you, he has been in the NBA for 5 years, but he played very well in 2016. He played okay in 2017, and then 2018, he's not playing as well, not getting nearly as much minutes, and it's just kind of a fade. But I guess Middleton has showed that he can really be that star without Jabari Parker. They're playing to their full potential, and then Brooke Lopez just shooting lights out from three every game. I mean, he was only 1-for-8 in that game, but big man keeps shooting. And then this showed some problems for Toronto. I mean, their defense needs to get better. Obviously, with Valanciunas out, they have one less rim protector. And then their bench, which has always been good, I feel like they have to improve. They need to play CJ Miles more, because he's a better player than he's been playing this year. And so Danny Green is definitely their best perimeter defender, and the Raptors love him as a defender, so he has to keep carrying the load on defense. And then Kawhi Leonard maybe is their best perimeter defender, but Danny Green is, I don't know, it's tough to say, but they need to improve their defense and be more consistent on the offensive end. But this is a Raptors team. This is one of the best Raptors teams I've seen in a while. So then we have a very good game, another good game, 76ers-Warriors. This is in Golden State. To go into Golden State and try and win, it's not an easy task, especially if you're the Philadelphia 76ers. Especially if you're the 76ers. And so the Warriors, they had a good game. Durant had a good game. Steph Curry really carried the load. But without Klay Thompson playing, that opens up a lot less spacing because of the big threat of Klay Thompson. When the Celtics played the Warriors last Saturday, what I noticed was you have to pick one player you want to shoot. Like, on teams, like, with the Rockets, you can say, like, you want Austin Rivers to beat you. You want James Ennis to beat you. You want the other guys. You want Gerald Green to beat you. You don't want James Harden to beat you. On this Warriors team, and they're starting five, you can't do that because of just how every single player in their starting five, all five of them, if you play them one-on-one, they'll beat you. And then when they have those five players, like with Cousins just coming back, they're playing so much better. By the way, 76ers, congrats to you, snapped an 11-game win streak for Golden State. But when it's going to be hard to defend that, I don't think teams are going to find a way to defend it. But it'll be interesting to see how they defend it. But you really can't, because, like, if you pay too much attention to Thompson coming off the screens or Curry, then it leaves Durant one-on-one, and no one can guard a 7-footer who can shoot the ball. Draymond Green, I think, is their least scoring threat, but he can still beat you in a one-on-one. Find the open man. Find the open man, come cut into the basket or open at the three-point line. And then Cousins will beat you one-on-one. So the Warriors, this is the best team I think they've had ever. This is the best team that the NBA has ever seen, just offensively. Their defense should get better, but they get stops when they need to. Cousins, when he gets more used to the game, he'll become more of a shot blocker, back to what he was in New Orleans and Sacramento. He wasn't, like, a premier shot blocker, but he's a solid rim protector. So, and then the Pacers, life without Oladipo has not been very easy. They lost to the Magic, and in their last 10 games, they're 5-5. They've lost 4 in a row. But for the Pacers, I think it's all going to go downhill from here. Sabonis has not played as well. I'm just saying that because he's on my fantasy team, and I've noticed it. Because he played better with Oladipo on the floor than he did with Oladipo off the floor. So I don't think Sabonis is a one solid player. I think you have to have one more player, and he'll be like the second scorer. And then Turner, not playing to his potential at all. When he came into the league, everyone thought, like, his first season wasn't that great. And then everyone was like, oh, he's going to have a great second, third year. But his second year, I mean, it was not that well. And then this year, he's just become a third, fourth scorer behind Oladipo and Collison and Bogdanovich. So it'll be interesting to see how the Pacers move on from Oladipo, and they might get that eighth spot. Washington is playing better basketball since John Wall has declared he was out for the season. But it's tighter than it looks on paper. In the bottom part of the Eastern Conference, like 7 through 11 is the most, is very tight, and from like Miami to say Orlando, there's only a separation of 4.5 games. And so if Washington makes a run, I mean, Bradley Beal's playing as well as he has in a while. Ariza is showing up. Thomas Bryant is having a terrific under-the-radar season. Otto Porter coming off the bench. So he's not getting as many minutes as he should be. But they're in the hunt. Detroit has a solid core of Griffin and Drummond. They just need to improve Reggie Jackson. Get him back to the basketball he was playing a year ago, 2 years ago, and then just develop their young core with Ish Smith as a veteran, Galloway is a veteran, and then they have Pachulia and Calderon, so it'll be, we'll see what happens there. Miami, they're a solid team. They're playing without Dragic. Whiteside is having a better season. Many thought he would maybe get traded or, like, sign with another team because they weren't giving as many minutes. But he's averaging 12-12. And Josh Richardson is having a very under-the-radar season, 17.3 points per game. He was having a better season at the beginning, but then he kind of faded. And then Bam Adebayo is just, I would rather him start than Hassan Whiteside because he plays harder. He goes after everything. Dwayne Wade is, you can count on him in the late game situations. Deion Waiters coming back from injury can give you solid outings on a night-to-night basis. And then Tyler Johnson and Derek Jones Jr., both lefties coming off the bench. So this is a good team. We'll have to watch and see how they play and they make the playoffs. And then Charlotte with Kemba Walker, and they kind of have Jeremy Lamb as that second scorer, which they haven't had in a while. They've mostly relied on Kemba, and Nick Batum fading, not having a good season at all, only averaging 9 points a game. And then Miles Bridges is becoming a good rookie, 6 points a game, but he's having a solid impact when he's playing. And Jeremy Lamb is having a good good season. Malik Monk is having a solid second year to back up his not-so-great first year. And then Tony Parker coming off the bench as a veteran to come off the bench for them is good. And then for Orlando, they have Vucevic, who is playing at an all-star level. And speaking of which, he is an all-star. He got announced last night. And then Aaron Gordon, 15 points a game. Terrence Ross is a solid player. He dropped 30 last night. Yeah, and he's good. And Nikola Vucevic is just carrying this team. I think they finally solved their long problem. They can build around Vucevic. And they have a couple draft picks in this year and the next couple of years. Mo Bamba will definitely develop. Needs to get more muscle on him. We'll see what happens. And this is about the end of our show. So I'm going to go on tonight's games. And I'm going to predict who will win these games. So we've got the Grizzlies at the Hornets. I picked the Hornets because the Grizzlies are just not playing good basketball. It seemed like they were back. Conley was playing better. Gasol was doing what he did best. And then Jaren Jackson was kind of developing. But that's basically it. That's their core. They have no other talent. Their bench isn't that good. So I picked Charlotte. They're at home. They play very well at home. And then Kemba Walker, I expect him to maybe take over if it's a close game. and Charlotte's 17-8 at home, which is solid for a team who's in eighth place. They just need to play better on the road. Celtics at Knicks. I have the Celtics because I'm a Celtics fan. I'm not being biased, but I honestly don't know if DeAndre Jordan and all of them that got traded will play. But it depends if the people that got traded, like Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., it doesn't look like they're going to play. But if they do play, it'll be a tougher game because it's in New York. New York fans are happy about this trade, or some are not. But I picked the Celtics because it's going to be close. Maybe like in the third quarter, it'll be like a 3-point game, and then Celtics or Knicks will pull away. But I picked the Celtics to pull away. Thunder Heat, I have the Thunder. I expect Paul George to take over. And then the Thunder are playing very good basketball right now. I think without Goran Dragic, and I think the Heat will lose to a Thunder team, but not horribly. I think it'll be a close game in the fourth quarter, and then Paul George will go on a run. Russ will probably have a triple-double. So I'll watch that game. Hawks at Jazz. I have the Jazz because the Hawks are not a good team. It seems like every team that plays them blows them out. But they're playing better basketball as of late. Kevin Herter's playing good. Trae Young. And then Rockets at Nuggets. I don't know. I don't know. The Nuggets, they've gone through a lot of injury. Harden will, I predict, 40. I'll do 40. He's with Paul, but Paul's still coming back from that injury, and I don't know. I don't think Paul is back into his groove yet, so I predict, I predict the Rockets to, I predict the Nuggets to win, but it'll be close, very close, and I think it'll come down to the last couple seconds, maybe it'll go down to, like, 30 seconds, because, without Jamal Murray, there's no really clutch player, and I feel like Jokic isn't, clutch yet. So that's my predictions for tonight. And before we end the show, I am going to show you the most recent and updated Kia MVP ladder. And I will react to it, and then I will have to say goodbye, and I am going to go watch the Celtics game. At number one, we have James Harden. I agree with that because of his most valuable, like, that's what the award is, not best player, most valuable. So when the Rockets are without Harden, they don't win. When they're with him, they don't always win, but he's very valuable, which is what it is. Giannis is very, yes, I agree with that at number two. He's really carrying his team, and he's getting more help than he has in a while with Middleton and Lopez and Bledsoe. Curry at number three, I don't know if I really, I agree with that because of, I guess I didn't see his stats, 29.6 points a game. I'll agree with that. And his shooting, he's an insane shooter, and he's fun to watch. I think he is very valuable. I think without Curry, they still would win basketball games because, you know, they have Durant, Cousins. And then four, we have Embiid. Yeah, I agree with that. He definitely outplayed DeMarcus Cousins, stopping him on the defensive end. He had 20 and 20, and 5 assists against the Warriors, really playing to his full potential. Five, they have Paul George. I definitely agree with that. Paul George is putting up insane numbers. I think Paul George, maybe four, Embiid is three, and then Steph Curry is five. And then the next five is number six. Jokic, I agree with that. Leonard, yes. Eight, Durant, I don't know. I think they would still win basketball games without KD. LeBron, I think, should be higher up there. I think maybe seven. And 10, Kyrie, yeah. Five more. So number 11, Anthony Davis. I don't really agree with that because he's not, I don't think he should be ranked this week because he's not, and demanded that trade, and yeah. Damian Lillard, Portland Trailblazers. Yeah, I agree with that. He's really carrying them. He had a great game, even though McCollum kind of took over in the first, and then Lillard took over in the second against the Jazz. So that was. I mean, McCollum is. He gets. I feel like he gets snubbed every year in the All-Star game, but this year I feel like there are many other guys, and I kind of agree with him not being an All-Star. But Damian Lillard, I am very happy for being an All-Star. Because he's always good, and his Trailblazers are always good and find a way to make the playoffs. And then they have, Donovan Mitchell for the Utah Jazz. Rightfully so. He's coming back from his first year, and going right back to where he left off with, and exceeding expectations. D'Angelo Russell, Brooklyn Nets, yes, I agree with that. Maybe he should be higher than, maybe he should be, Lillard should be in Anthony Davis's spot, Russell should be in Lillard's, and then Mitchell should stay where he is. Yeah, and then Davis should replace, yeah. And then Russell Westbrook, Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't understand how they can have two players for the same team in the MVP candidates, because it's like most valuable player. But I guess it makes sense. But I will do another podcast when I feel the need to. And I'm going to go watch the NBA games that just started, and. Wait, before I leave, I have to tell you about the Mountain Dew Rising Stars. Because I forgot. Okay, so Kyrie Irving will coach the U.S. team, and then Dirk Nowitzki will coach the world team. They will serve as honorary coaches. So, the U.S. team is Donovan Mitchell, net center Jared Allen, who's having a terrific season, rebounding the basketball and scoring in the pick and roll with D'Angelo Russell. Sacramento Kings forward, yep, Marvin Bagley, and guard De'Aaron Fox. That's gonna be a very good 1-2 punch come maybe a year or two. So it is right now. It's very young. Atlanta Hawks forward, John Collins. Yeah, he's having a very under the radar season. And then Trae Young. Memphis Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. is having an outstanding season. And Celtics forward Jason Tatum. You know, you would think the Grizzlies would be having a better season because of the individual stats. Like, Conley's having a great season, Gasol, and Jaren Jackson's having an incredible rookie season. You would think they would be more in the playoff picture, but they're 14th. And they started out the season much better than they are right now. Ben Simmons, this is the world team. Ben Simmons from Australia, Luka Doncic from Slovenia. And then Toronto Raptors forward, OG Anunoby from the United Kingdom, yeah. Phoenix Suns center, DeAndre Ayton from the Bahamas. He's having a good season. Obviously number one pick, but he's been out for a couple games, so he's lost kind of his fling in the rookie race with other people emerging, like Trae Young and Jaren Jackson. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who's having a very good season for a Kings team who is looking to make the playoffs for the first time in a couple of years. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's not having as good of a season as many people expected, but he'll develop. He's playing for a Clippers team who may make the playoffs, may not. but he's young, so he'll get better. Nets forward, Rodions Karuc, who's having a very good season for the Nets. He's had a couple big games, and he's a very good three-point shooter. And can catch you off the dribble, too, if you play him off the three-point line, he'll get you right off the dribble. Lauri Markkanen, yep. After coming back from that injury, he's playing well. And the Bulls are playing a little bit of basketball, not necessarily a blowout every time they play teams. Zach LaVine's having a good season. Minnesota Timberwolves, Josh Okogie. Yeah, he's a very good dunker, I would say. And then Cleveland Cavaliers forward, Chetty Osman. I think that will be fun to watch. But I was surprised about Kevin Herter not being in it. Just because I'm a Maryland fan, and I thought maybe he would get a little more recognition. Well, that is the end of the podcast, and I will I will have my podcast before next week, and then I'll definitely have one after the All-Star Draft, where Giannis and LeBron draft their All-Star team. So, thanks for listening to The Layup. I'm Ryan Duty, and have a good night.